Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Yevamos Daf Dalet. We are holding on the bottom line of Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us that an Erva is Pater from Yivam. How do we know that? The Gemara yesterday brought a Brice. We learned from Achos Isha that the concept of Erva is applicable even in a Yivam circumstance. So if the Yivam, his brother's wife, happens to be his daughter, Yivam will not apply. Why do we need a special pasuk for that? She's an Erva. It's a Loisase. A Loisase that has Kuris. No less. No less than Kuris. Why would you even think Mitzvah's Yivam can override that concern? Apparently, we're working with the premise, with the concept that typically an essay is doichelis essay. When you have a context of conflict between essay and lois essay will supersede, override lois essay and allow you to do the mitzvah. And that's why you need a pasuk to tell you, no, in this case, there's no yibum by an erev. How do you know that concept to be true? Asks the Gemara. Lois essay greater than all in the dachi. How do we even know that an essay is doichei lois essay? The chsev the pasuk says lois silbash shatnis. Not meant to wear shatnis, a mixture of wool and linen. The pasuk continues. Next pasuk, gedilim taslacha. Fashion strings of tzitzis for yourself. We learn from here. Why does the pasuk place tzitzis next to shatnis to tell you that the mitzvah of tzitzis supersedes shatnis? As Rashi says on the top line, right next to it we have Gedilim Taslacha, but Darshinan we apply a drasha using the concept of Simuchin. Why did they place these two concepts next to each other to tell you? There's a correlation, there's a connection. And therefore, Visharinan Kalayim B'Tzitzis, we allow Kalayim in the case of Tzitzis. So you can have wool strings on a linen beged, etc. Alma, apparently, an assay of tzitzis will override lois assay. As we mentioned yesterday, the name of the Ramban Parshas Yisroi, assay is that positive energy, positive connection to Hashem. And Yira is the basis of the lois assays in the Torah. Don't disconnect, don't cut yourself off from Hashem. So it's the midah of Yira represented in the lois assay, and therefore he says, Ahava, the power of love, positive energy, overrides Yira, and therefore an assay is doich lois assay. If you present it with a conflict, the assay wins. And that's what we learn from the fact that the Torah allows you to make tzitzis using kalai. So it's based on the concept of smuchin, b'amar b'leza, smuchin na Torah minayin. How do we know that we can rely on smuchin, the fact that we have two topics placed next to each other? Placement, arrangement, represents something, has meaning. Teaches us halachis. Shenemar, smuchim lad la'olam, asurim be'emes v'yashar. A Torah is placed, is arranged in orderly fashion. Everything is be'emes v'yashar. There's a reason, a place for everything. The fact that tzitzis is next to shatnez tells you that shatnez b'tzitzis is mutter. We have another example of this halacha of smuchim v'amar of sheshes and v'lazer. Mishum v'lazer v'nazari. This is a mitzvah-related halacha. How do we know that in the case where Yevama presents herself as a Yevama in front of her brother who is struck with a mukashchin condition, full of boils, and she has no interest in marrying him? We don't force her. She ain't chayis min oisa. We don't muzzle her. We hear her out. We're sensitive to her claims, to her tanas, and we actually force the Yevam to be chaylitzer. How do we know that to be true? Shanamar lo yisachsim shebedisha. Don't muzzle the ox while he's threshing. V'samach lei. And right next to it, we have the pasuk of Yibam. Ki yeshu achi mechtav. To tell you that at times, in a Yibam circumstance, we don't muzzle. We're sensitive to the Yivama, and we don't push her forward and force her to be misyab. Once again, this is based on the concept of smuchim. V'amar av yesiv, here comes a chiddush. Afilu lemanda lo yidorash. Even the mandama who's leidarish smuchim ba'amu, typically throughout the chamisha chamshei Torah, doesn't subscribe to smuchim. The seder, the arrangement, doesn't really teach us ein mukdim u'muchim ba'Torah. But that's typically when it comes to Bereishis through Bamidbar. But Mishnah, Torah, Darsh, when it comes to Dvarim, he will subscribe to Smuchim, the Harab Yudah Ba'amalei Darsh. As we find that Rabbi Yehuda typically doesn't apply Smuchim over Mishnah Torah Darash when it comes to Dvarim, which is sort of like a review of Mishnah Torah. Over there we apply Smuchim, and therefore when it comes to Klein Betzitzis, which is contained in Dvarim, Smuchim will be activated according to all Shittas. Uba'alma Menon Deledarash, how do you know that Rabbi Yehuda typically doesn't subscribe to Smuchim the Sani? Benazo Eimer, Nema Mechashefa Loisachaya. Torah says, put the Mechashefa, the women involved in witchcraft, put her to death. Don't let her live. What means of punishment do we apply? What means does she get? Unknown. We learn it from elsewhere. V'nema kol sheichem behema meisumas. Whoever has a relationship with a behema, meisumas. And that's next to mechashefa. Somchay inyan loy, the Torah placed the inyan of the sheichem behema next to the inyan of mechashefa to tell you. Ma sheichem behema beskila, just as that results in skila. Asha brings a pasuk for it. Av mechashefa beskila. Likewise, mechashefa gets skila, and that's how we know skila by mechashefa. So it's based on samuchin because they're in close proximity to each other. Amle Rehuda. Rehuda responds to Ben Azai. Is that a reason to give him skila, one of the most severe, if not the most severe punishment? V'chemi pnei shesamcha inyan loy. Just because the psukim are next to each other, noitzizel a skila will give the mechashef skila. All right, you have to do that. We can't apply samuchin. That can't be the basis for the drasha. Ella, rather, how do you know Mechashefa got skila from a different source? I agree with the halacha, but the source I disagree with. Ella oivi yedoni. There are two different variations of witchcraft. Bechal mechashim hayu. Really, they were meant to be included in the concept of mechashim. They're a form, a variation of mechashim, of individuals involved in witchcraft. Why then does the Torah single them out? V'lama yatsu. The Torah singles them out, they get skila. Why? What's the point of singling them out and setting them apart? And Rashi brings the Midah B'Torah, one of the formulas applied to Torah Sha'al Peh is called Kol Davar Shehayu B'Chlal V'Yatsu Min HaKlal. Something was included in a klal and then was singled out. It's coming to teach. Loi lamed al atzma yatsa wasn't just coming to teach itself, meaning to single itself out. Elo lamed al klal kula yatsa, any new element you find in this item that was singled out applies to the general, the klal as well. So over here, by yoyvi yidoni, really they should be included in all the mechashim. Mechashef eloi sechayim includes these as well. V'lama yatsu, why didn't the Torah single them out? The Torah says, oy v'yidoyni, they get skila, lahakish lehem v'loy melacha, who meant to connect all the other types of witchcraft individuals to the oy v'yidoyni v'loy melacha, and conclude as follows, ma oy v'yidoyni v'skila, just as skila applies to oy v'yidoyni, as the pasuk clearly says, af mechashefa v'skila, likewise, skila applies to mechashefa, and that's how we know this halach. It's clear. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with smuch, but uba mishna Torah darsh, when it comes to Dvarim, over there he agrees with Smuchim, such as in the case of Kalayim Betzitzis. Ub Mishnah Torah, Menol, and the Darsh, how do we know that's true? That's not. Noise Odom Anusas Aviv, Umfutas Aviv. Typically, one is not meant to marry his father's wife, even if it's not his mother. Ashes Aviv is off. What about Anusas Aviv? She's not really his wife. It was a forced relationship there. Mufutas Aviv, a coerced relationship. Or likewise, when it comes to a daughter-in-law. Not really a married daughter-in-law. It was Anusas B'noi, Mfutas B'noi. So according to Tanakhama, these are really mutter. Because the Torah says, Ervash Eshes Avicha. Rashi says, Eshes Mashma Ade Kedushin Mashma. Through proper marriage. Same thing with a daughter-in-law. But if it's just Anusa Mfuta, the Isser Erva doesn't apply. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in one case. Rabbi Yehuda Isser B'Anusas Ovim, Mfutas Ovim. When it comes to his father, it's us. How do we know? It's based on smuchin. My time to read the why. The chsiv leigach ish as ishasav. Woman not marry his father's wife. V'leigalek knaf aviv. What does this mean? He can't reveal the woman that was covered by the knaf, the beggar of the father. Basically, one who had a relationship with his father. Knaf shara aviv leigala. So he can't marry this woman. I'm not speaking about a wife. Even an unofficial relationship is also considered an erva to the son. Umayde banusa ksiv. Well, how do you know we're speaking about anusa? The answer is miluyo miluve dekra. We go back to the first part of the pasuk. Well, actually, to the previous pasuk. Tichsiv venosna ish hashechev imo labianara chamishim kesa. We're speaking about an oinus, a forced relationship. Vesamachlei. And the pasuk right after that says lo yikach ish. Here's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Smuchin. We have the pasuk of Le'igal Knaf Aviv situated following that pasuk speaking about Arnusa. We assume, we conclude that this pasuk, as well as alluding to an Arnusa, and therefore Arnusa's Aviv is us. Rabbanon disagree, as we're going to say in a minute, but in any case, we've proven our point. When it comes to Mechashef Alei Sechaya, Rabbi Yehuda does not apply Smuchen. When it comes to Anusas Aviv, he does. Why? The answer is, that's Vayikra. This is Mishnah Torah. So Mishnah Torah and Dvarim, we apply Smuchen. Likewise, when it comes to Shatnez B'Tzitzis, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. The Asay of Tzitzis overrides the Loisase of Shatnez and its Mutz. Rabbanon who disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, they hold that Anusas Aviv is mutter, they hold like this. If indeed the second portion of this pasuk, lo yigale knaf aviv, would be situated immediately following that pasuk of Anusa, previous pasuk of Anusa, k'dika amris, we would follow along with you. It would be smuchen. It would connect. It would relate. But there's a problem here. There's something in between. There's something interrupting the two pasukim. Ha'ashad lo yisamachle. It's not right next to it. Because remember, there's a first portion of the pasuk that gets in the way. Dechsev lo yikach ishes ishes of ben time. That's recorded in between. So one pasuk speaks about an anusa. Next pasuk starts with ishes aviv, unrelated to anusa. And then, and only then, lo yigal knaf aviv. There's been a disconnect here. It doesn't relate back to anusa. What then does the pasuk mean when it says Le'igal knaf aviv b'shemeres yob b'makasa medaber? We're speaking about the shemeres yob of his father. His father's brother passed away without children. That brother had a wife. She's a yivama. She's destined for this fellow's father now. She's a shemeres yob. Shemeres means like aviv shamar sadavar mitzape, anticipating. She's anticipating Yibam by his fellow's father. She's not really his wife, but she's really 1 foot in. That's what the pasuk is speaking about. Either a proper wife or on the way in. But Anusa, that's not us. The question is, why does the pasuk have to say, don't marry the Shemiras Yavam of one's father? A Shemiras Yavam, in any case, may not marry anybody else except for the Yavam. There's a love. Answer is, for love, or olav, vishnei love, and to apply another love. On top of the conventional love, the standard love applying to every Yavam, she may not marry out. She may not marry anybody except for the Yavam. If it pertains to one's father, there's an extra Isser, you got a knaf aviv. Okay, so now we concluded that according to Rabbi Yehuda, typically we don't follow Smuchim, but in Mishnah Torah we do. Why? The question is why? Why is Mishnah Torah different? Oh, in Mishnah Torah, my time in the Darish, why does he Darish Smuchim? By the same, we have two Teretzim. One Teretz, Mishum Demuchach, because it's clear. Why is it clear? The Gemara soon will explain. Because otherwise it's out of context. So the arrangement, in this case, is indicative of the fact that there is reason and purpose, and there is something to be learned from the exact placement. Another teretz is because we're speaking about an extra pasuk. It's an unnecessary expression. It's an extra pasuk. And therefore, there's something to it. And therefore, we learn smuchen. Explains the Gemara. Whether it's because of the fact that it's obvious. Why is it obvious? So again, we're speaking about the Yisra of Anusas Aviv. What makes it obvious? Dim came, because were it to be true that the Rabbanan's opinion that was speaking about a Shemeres Yavam, that was the correct approach, it doesn't belong here. It doesn't belong in the discussion of the Anusa. We're speaking about a Parsha of Anusa. Why does it belong here? Lichtiv Rachmana Gabai Arayis. You know where it belongs? Together with all the other Arayis. The fact that the Torah chose to place it over here, together with the Parsha of Oynes, that's a Arayis that we're speaking about in Nusas of. Another Torah is because we have an extra pasuk. The fact that it's an extra pasuk, that in itself is a basis for us to darshan. Dim kain, because if it were so that the Rabbanan's approach was correct, then it wouldn't have to express itself in this way. Lichtav Rachman, the pasuk just say, Layikach ishes ishes aviv. Layigala knaf. If the Rabbanan's interpretation was correct, we're speaking about A, ishes aviv, father's wife. And number two, ashimeras yavim laaviv. If that's the case, why does the pasuk have to add aviv at the end? Aviv lamali. That's an extra word. Shmamina lafnui. There's an extra word here, extra pasuk. Lafnui, it's available to teach us that we're trying to include something else, to teach us anusas aviv. How do we know it's anusas aviv? By way of the formula of smuchin, the fact that it's in close proximity to the pasuk of anus, of oynes, so we know anusas aviv is asur as well. So typically we don't have these factors. Muchach afnui. In this case we do. Therefore, Yehuda agrees to apply smuchin. Tosis points out that the truth is, theoretically, if there would be these factors, we would have mufni and muchach and other chumashim. Then, in those cases as well, Rabbi would agree that smuchim can apply. But so happens to be that factually we only have it in Mishnah Torah. Other rishonim disagree. Dafkan in Mishnah Torah we can apply the concept of smuchim when it's mufni or muchach, but otherwise not. And the Yagoyes Merab Ranshburg on the side, he explains. He says because, I'll just read it inside. He says, "Davka b'mishnah Torah dorish, v'loy b'chol haTorah, v'tamu mishum d'chol haTorah mepi ha'gvura nemra." See, whereas the rest of the Torah was directly from Hashem, dictated by Hashem, over there we say ve'ein muktam u'mucher. You can't draw conclusions from the Seder pasuk. Of course, it's a deeper meaning, but it's not meant for drash. Aval Moshe shetzid mishnah Torah. When it comes to mishnah Torah, Devar Moshe Rabbeinu arranged it. Of course, Baruch HaKodesh, but it's a different type of arrangement. It was from Moshe Rabbeinu. He was Masada Parsha Achar Parsha Lisida Lidorish. He had this in mind as well. That we can draw halachas from the Seder, from the arrangement. If that's the case, says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda agrees with the concept of smuchim, provided that it's in Mishnah Torah, provided that we have a reason, a special reason. It's muchach, it's mufna. How is that going to apply to tzitzis? V'gabit tzitzis nami there as well. Rav Yehuda would agree smuchim is in place. You know why? For the same two reasons. Ibo is saying, whether Mishnah Torah muchach, because the placement makes it obvious as such. Ibo is saying, Mishnah Torah muchach, because we have an extra pasuk. And again, the extra pasuk tells you, do something with me. Apply smuchim. Explains the Gemara. Ibo is saying, you can say Mishnah Torah muchach. Because there's something obvious, something out of the norm, in terms of placement. The im came, lichtav Rachmana gavar pashas tzitzis. Because typically you would expect the mitzvah of tzitzis to be discussed in Parshas Tzitzis, which is elsewhere. Why would the pasuk mention tzitzis right here together with kelayim? There's a reason for it. The reason is connect the two concepts. Allow kelayim by tzitzis. But you say another teretz mishum demufne, because really we have an extra pasuk. In fact, that's an extra pasuk that indicates that it's ready for a drush, and smuchin can be applied. Why is it extra? Michti, let's try to analyze this. We have two psukim when it comes to kalayim. Pasuk says, Kasav ubeged kalayim shatnez le'al alecha. A beged that has this mixture of wool and linen should not be placed on you. Don't cover yourself with a beged shatnez. I'm not speaking about wearing, covering, a blanket, a towel. Why do we need the other pasuk, which speaks about wearing shatnez? Isn't it one of the same idea? Why does the Torah have to repeat? Don't wear shatnez. Shema minilaf nuyim. That's an extra pasuk. It's mufna. It's available to tell us that the drasha of smuchen should apply. Hani mitzvah tzricha. No, both pasukim are needed. Wearing and covering. Because Rachman alayal alach b'torah only say don't allow yourself to be covered by kelayim. How about me? I would say, kol derech Allah asa Rachman. We would expand the issa. We would say any type of coverage is also, even if I don't have enough from it, I don't enjoy it. Even if I'm just a clothing salesman, I'm just wearing it for display purposes. Afilu mechir kshus, even those who sell begadim, they're just wearing it to display it without any personal interest of hana. Is that asur too? I would think yes. Right? Le'al alecha. It shouldn't cover you in any way. That's why we need the other pasuk. Kasa rachman alei silba shadnis. And the silba shadnis tells you that there's a certain requirement. It's in the context. Within the context of hana. Don't wear it. Dumi delevisha has to be comparable to wearing this behana, which provides him with hana. But otherwise, it's no isav shatz. And likewise, v'yikas rachman alei silbash. The Torah only says the second pasuk, don't wear. Havamin, I would say, dafka levisha denofash anayasa. Wearing a shatz is a problem. Wow, it provides real benefit. Keeps you warm, keeps you cozy, keeps you feeling safe and secure. Aval halal aloi, but just covering oneself, that's not a problem. That's what you need the other pasuk. Don't allow yourself to be covered by kelayim. There's no extra pasuk. Both have a chiddush contained in them. Im came, but if it were so, lichtav rachman al silbash shabbos. I understand we need halah, we need the silbash. But that would be enough for the silbash shabbos. Don't wear a mixture. Why do we need semer pishtim? Semer pishtim lomli. Why do I have to spell it out? The silbash shabbos. Semer pishtim yachtav. Wool and linen. We already know a chatnis means a mixture of wool and linen. Why? How do we know that? Michtig. Let's analyze. Kasav, the pasuk says, a beged kilayim chatnis lo yal alech. A beged of chatnis should not cover you. And beged means wool and linen, the primary materials. V'tana de Bishmol. We learned in the Brayis and Beis Medrash of Bishmol that whenever we have the term beged in the Torah, it's alluding to wool and linen. The fact is, we find many times over the word begadim in the Torah, beged begadim. We don't know what it's made of, right? And we find that in one instance, the Torah specifies semer pishtim, that we're speaking about a beged of wool and linen. Where is that? That's by Negoim. Torah uses the word a beged and explains itself. I was speaking about semer pishtim. We draw from there. Av kol semer pishtim. Whenever we have the lashon of beged, we're speaking about a beged which contains those primary ingredients of semer pishtim. Torah says, don't wear a beged of kelayim. Beged kelayim shadnis. What type of beged? A mixture of wool and linen. Semer pishtim, because of rachman olamli. Why does I have to spell it out? Wool and linen. It's an extra pasuk. Here's the extra pasuk. Shema melafnui. It's a mufna. It's available to teach you. And in this case, we apply smuchin. And the fact that the pasuk is stated next to tzitzis tells you that tzitzis bekalayim is mutter. You can have wool threads on a linen beged, etc. Because essay deichel is essay. Asks the Gemara. That's not an extra pasuk. Vakati itzrich. We still need it. Perhaps I would say, Halahi. I understand. When it comes to Halah, again, there's wearing and there's covering. So one pasuk speaks about wearing. The other pasuk speaks about Halah, being covered by a blanket, by a kelayim material. So I would say, yeah. When it comes to Halah, beged kilayim shatnis lo yal alecha, over there you need to be, it needs to be a mixture of wool and linen. Ha'Allah hi, de lo yinofesh hana'asa. When it comes to Allah, which doesn't provide that much hana as a beged does, so there the issue only applies if this material contains those primary ingredients, those primary fibers of wool and linen. But when it's a real beged, you're actually wearing it. close to skin. It's providing proper warmth. So perhaps in this case, quality makes up for quantity. Quantity makes up for quality. The fact that I have more hanor that compensates for the fact that we're speaking about deficient materials, not those important materials of wool and linen. Kol trei minyas rachmana. Any type of mixture is us. Any two types of materials mixed together is us. That's why we need a pasuk to tell you no. Shatnez is exclusively a mixture of wool and linen. Kas rachmana semer pishtim. So it's not an extra pasuk. We need that pasuk. In both cases, halo and levisha, it's exclusively regarding a mixture of wool and linen. Answers the Gemara in Cain, because if that's the point of the pasuk, we don't need these words articulated in the pasuk. Why? Lish tekramin, Torah could just withhold these words. Torah doesn't have to say Lusilba Shatnez and add Semra Pishtim Yachta. How would I know it's Semra Pishtim? We would learn it from Halal. Vatesi Shatnez, Shatnez Mahalal. We would use a Xerah Shava. We have the word Shatnez over here, Lusilba Shatnez. The same phrase we have Bahalal, or Beged Kalim Shatnez. This is over there, it's Dafka Beged material, which means wool and linen mixed together here as well. When it comes to Levisha, it's wool and linen, nothing else. So Semra Pishtim Yachta is extra. That allows the smuchim to be activated. Says the Gemara, "V'tana de Rishmo." We're gonna have a kasha on Tana de Rishmo. Tam at the kasher rachmano temra pishtim. You tell me like this: we have an extra phrase temra pishtim that activates the smuchim. That tells you that kelaim betzitzis is mutter halav hachi. But otherwise, if not for this extra drasha, what would I think? Kelaim betzitzis. Can we say that the Torah doesn't allow kalayim in its tzitzis context? We have a kasha on you. Remember, Tan and Rishmo were the ones who told us that the term beged found in the Torah alludes to a beged made of either wool or linen, those primary fibers. Let's take a close look at the parsha of tzitzis. What do you make tzitzis of? V'oksiv v'oslem tzitzis al kanfei bigdeyem. Beged means wool or linen. And tzitzis is fine. It's legal. Apparently, kalayim is mutter by tzitzis. We don't need smuchim. We don't need drashas. It's a beferish apasik. With Hande Rishmal, didn't they tell us that kol b'godim tzemer pishtim? The word beged is tzemer pishtim. Vam Rachman, the Torah tells you, avalei tcheles. Make tcheles on your beged. And what is tcheles? Wool. Or tcheles amru. How do I know that? How do I know tcheles is amru? How do I know it's wool? Or am I the tcheles amru? Very simple. Midashesh kitna. Since we find that the term shesh, by Big Degahuna, we have michnase bad shesh. What is shesh alluding to? Kitna, linen, flax. If so, tcheles amru. We know that the colored fiber, the tcheles, is amru, is made from wool. Rashi explains the whole arichas. He says, we know that Big Degahuna only made from these two materials, wool or linen. So once we know that sheish is linen, apparently the colored materials, the blue material, is blue wool. And what is the Torah by tzitzis telling you? Make the tcheles, blue wool, on big dayim, on big adam, which can be either made from wool or linen. So that's it. Stop right here. We don't need smuchen. We don't need extra psukim. It's a pasuk in the Torah. No, not so fast. Itzrich, we need that drasha. You know why? There would be another way to interpret this pasuk in a way which would not lead us to believe that kilayim is mutter by tzitzis. Perhaps we would say, you know, true, tcheles is wool, and the word beged can either mean wool or linen, but perhaps he meant to match the types. Wool strings on a wool beged. Right? Linen strings on a linen beged. Don't mix and match. Oh, so you wouldn't know that kelaim is mutter. And that's why we need the pasuk and the smuchen that we discussed. Okay, let's see inside. It's itrich. We need that pasuk. We need the drush to allow kelaim by tzitzit. Perhaps we can follow Rav's track, which would not lead us to the desirable result that we're looking for. The Rav had a steer in the pasuk. Ksiv hakanav. On the one hand, the pasuk says, "V'nosnu al tzitzis hakanaf psil techeles," and that sounds like min kanaf. The threads have the same material, are made of the same fibers as the beged itself. So you have a silk beged, you have silk threads. So you can use any type of material for your tzitzit as long as it matches the material of the beged. Uksivet semer pishtim. Now we have another pasuk which says lesilba shanis semer pishtim yachdav gedilim taslach, which indicates that tzitzis have to be produced from semer pishtim only, wool and linen. Can use other fibers. So which way is it? Okay, tzitz. The answer is like this. All types are mutter. All types work. But there's an advantage to those two primary materials. Tzemer pishtim. They are poitrin beminon beshaloi beminon. They can exempt any sort of beged. So if you hang up tzemer or pishtim on a beged, it's irrelevant of whether the beged matches the threads or not. Tzemer pishtim are those all-encompassing, a master key that takes care of any beged. As opposed to shamin, other types of materials, for instance silk, that has limited ability. Beminon poitrin. If you hang it up on a silk beged, it works. Hakanaf min kanaf. Shalei b'minan ain poitin doesn't work in another beged. So tzemer pishtim are all-encompassing. Other materials, other types of strings work, provided that they match the beged itself. Okay, so how does it pertain to us? We had a kash. Why would the Torah have to explicitly allow you to employ kalayim by tzitzis? According to Tanya Bishmol, the term beged, the term beged by tzitzis, for oslam tzitzis al kafim bigdeim, indicates that we're speaking about wool or linen. Right? Because beged means wool or linen, according to Tana de Bishmol. Okay, so Torah really allows kalayim right there. You can make a wool tzitzis on a linen beged. Okay, so the Gemara says, no, not so fast. You know why? Because perhaps we're going to follow Rava's formula, which indicates that there is a certain limitation. There's a certain limitation when it comes to tzitzis. It has to match the beged. So perhaps in this case I would say that wool only works to wool, linen to linen. Just as Rava tells us that silk can only be used on a silk beged. Right? So we're limited. Now ability to apply certain strings to certain begadim. And that's why the Torah has to tell you, no, when it comes to tzitzis, kalayim is mutter. You can take a wool thread and put it on a linen beged and vice versa. It says, well, one second. But Tana de Bishmol left by the Rava. Tana de Bishmol hold that the term beged mentioned by tzitzis indicates only wool and linen. Only a beged of wool and linen is chayv and tzitzis. Apparently he's not following Rava's approach, because Rava clearly tells us that even a silk beged works. Even a silk beged is chayv and tzitzis. Right? So how could you compare Tana de Bishmol to Rava? It's just not following the same track. No. You're right. We're not going along with Rava as far as the final conclusion, as far as the halacha itself. Rava holds even a silk beged is chayv and tzitzis. Tana de Bishmol apparently disagree. They hold that. V'aslam tzitzis al kafei bigdeim, a beged is tzemer pishtim. So you're right, but as far as the concept that Rava presents, that can be applied in a limited fashion to Tana de Bishmol as well. What does it mean? Istrich, we do need a pasuk to tell you that you can do tzitzis with kalayim, right? You need a pasuk for that. And the pasuk by tzitzis itself, Oslam tzitzis, kafei bigdeim, doesn't suffice. Just because bigdei means wool and linen, it wouldn't necessarily allow kelaim. Why? Because we're going to adopt, in limited fashion, Rava's diuk. Hakanaf min kanaf. Rava made a diuk. V'nosno atzitz hakanaf. The tzitzis on the kanaf, the threads on the corner, on the beged, have to match. So we're going to take that interpretation of Rava and apply it to us as well. V'achakam rachman. And Torah is telling you like this. Sure. Put tzitzis on a beged, and a beged means wool or linen. But be careful to avoid kelaim. It has to match. Sure, use those primary materials, wool or linen, but it has to match. Don't mix them up. Don't make kelaim. Overlay tzemer letzemer. Produce linen threads for a linen. Woolen threads for a woolen beged. Upishtim lepishtim. Linen threads for a linen beged. V'chiyavida tzemer letzemer tzavet. And when you go and you hang up those threads, you produce woolen threads for the woolen beged tzave, color it blue. Avol tzemer lepishtim, or pishtim letzemer, but to mix them up. Wool on linen, linen on wool. No, why? You can't do that. So just because the pasuk says, make tzitzis on a beged means either wool or linen, who says that means you can mix and match the types? Perhaps they have to match. That's why you need a pasuk. Kas rachmona tzemer pishtim. That takes us back to the diuk we had before. We have an extra pasuk, tzemer pishtim. Da'afilu tzemer lepishtim, pishtim letzemer. That extra pasuk indicates that there's some drasha embedded herein, i.e., apply smuchim. The mitzvah of tzitzis overrides kalayim, and therefore the conclusion is you can mix and match at will. Da'afilu tzemer lepishtim, you can make woolen threads for your pishtim beged, pishtim otzemer, and linen threads for your woolen beged, because asay doicha leis asay. Okay, so that's the conclusion at this point, that we're looking for a mocker of Esei Deicha Lo Esei. We found the drush of Kalayim B'Tzitzis, based on Smuchin, and all agree that Smuchin applies in this case. Certainly the Rabbanan, and even Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because it's obvious, Parshas Tzitzis belongs in Parshas Tzitzis, it's sort of out of place, to tell you that the arrangement has some meaning to it, there's a remes here, there's a drusha, that tzitzis is mutter by kalayim. Or because we have an extra pasuk, an extra expression of the pasuk, tzemer pishtim is extra, to tell you that there's basis for the drush of smuchin, that kalayim and tzitzis can go hand in hand. Continues the Gemara, one more line. Teinach letana derbi shmo. This works according to derbi shmo. Right? Because remember, tana derbi shmo were the ones who told us that the word beged denotes tzemer pishtim. So why does the pasuk have to spell out, don't make shatnis of tzemer pishtim? Pasuk says beged. Of course, it means a mixture of the elements that make beged, tzemer pishtim. So it's an extra pasuk that activates the smuch. But the rabbonim and aluhu, kontra rabbonim, beged can be referring to any material. The Torah has to explain to us, shatnis is a mixture of wool and linen. It's not an extra pasuk. So how do they know? To activate smuchim. How do they know that you can make tzitzis from kalayim? How did I know? That asay deichel say, they continue to be Ezer Hashem tomorrow. Hatzlacha Rabban, all the best to you.